Find her expert advice anytime at thinkblink.com and find her live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750 News Talk WSB.
It's 11:07 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. This is the Elise Glink Show, where we're rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. So many ways to connect with us here, folks. There's Twitter, at Glink. We're already tweeting out things. The really best place, though, to go, free weekly newsletter at thinklink.com, which is now twice a week. We're also getting it's just so many things to talk about. There's not enough that we can fit into one newsletter. So Mondays and Thursdays, we are in your inbox with the latest news and information about real estate and money, personal finance, tips, taxes, all kinds of cool stuff. The big news in our shop, I think, this week is that the investing in real estate webinars are finally finished. And so now we're going to try and get them up in a place where you can actually view them. So that's coming up in the next week or so. Very exciting to get those done. And if you haven't been checking out my real estate minutes, they are online in our YouTube channel. You can just go to YouTube and type in Elise Glink or real estate minutes, and all of those should pop up. So lots of really cool stuff happening. 9 minutes past the hour, there was big news this week for anybody who's still way underwater with their loans, which by my unscientific method would be just about everybody in Georgia and the great state of Michigan and a whole swath of northern Illinois. But Florida, don't leave out Florida. The federal government extended the Home Affordable Refinance Program, that's HARP 2.0, for two more years. It was supposed to end at the end of 2013, which already is 6 years after the official start of the housing bubble popping. And the government stepped in this week and said, yes, it's true. 2 million Americans have been able to refinance through HARP who are underwater and would not have been able to refinance, right? You need 20% equity pretty much to refinance in most places and to do it economically. But you're underwater by 40%, you're not refinancing. So here we are, lowest interest rates in history, and millions of Americans can't refinance. So what did they do? They stepped in and they said, okay, we're going to extend this 2 more years. And that is the really interesting part of it. The government's not saying, right, we see everything improving in a big way, and we'll just extend it another 6 months, or we'll extend it through the end of 2014. They took the extra step and pushed it out for 2 more years. Now, it's true that they probably will need to do a HARP 3.0. And it's also true, that's because there are some people who just are not going to qualify with this. And there are also, it is also true that fewer and fewer people are going to be qualifying for HARP. So why did the government extend the program? And the answer is because homeowners are going to need more help in the coming years. You are going to need more help. On the show, week in and week out, I talk about how this is a bit of an illusion, this economy coming back, the real estate market coming back. If you look over history, real estate prices have increased at a rate of roughly 1.5 to 2% over the rate of inflation. And if you go back far enough, it's really that it basically keeps track with inflation, like 0.2% above the rate of inflation. Stocks and bonds do a whole lot better. There's no way that houses can keep up with that. Just can't. It's not liquid enough. There's not enough of an investment going on. It's just completely different. So what happens, right? Let's think about this logically for a moment, rationally. We know that historically, over 100 years, homes appreciate at just over the rate of inflation, and yet there are places around the country right now where homes are increasing at 8% a year, or per month in some cases. What seems more rational and logical? That homes are going to continue like they have been for 100 years to increase at the rate of inflation, or they're going to go up 8 to 10% a year? So if you guessed option A, you get a gold star, right? The problem is so many people are so willing to walk back into bubble mentality. I don't know what it is. Does everybody just like living with like a big, clear, crystal bubble over their head? Maybe they do. Maybe the real world is just too crazy, too hard to stomach, but too hard to comprehend. But that is not reality, right? And we also have just, and I've talked about this before, it's an investor-driven economy. We have way too many people who fancy themselves real estate investors who are out there sopping up all the low-hanging fruit. And by the way, all the low-hanging fruit is gone, and now everybody's just doing multiple bids on what's left. So, yes, that is one way to push up home prices. But it's not a lasting way. It's just not. According to Realty Track, which is a real estate data company, 10.9 million homeowners are deeply underwater on their properties with an average loan-to-value ratio at or above 125%. In other words, your house is worth $100,000 and your mortgage is at $125,000. And even if that number shrunk by 2 million people a year, which is a huge number, it would still take 5 years to get all of those people out from negative equity. 5 years. So the government stepped in and said, you know what? We know that mortgage interest rates are not going up anytime soon. The Fed has made a real commitment to that. The other numbers this week looked really dim. I mean, like the economy had slowed again. And so they're not going to, you know, there's talk like, oh, maybe we'll end at the end of this year. They're not ending low interest rates anytime soon. And there are good things to that and bad things to that. It's made a lot of money for a lot of people. It has also made eligible this whole refinance economy, where people who have been able to refinance are saving $200, $300 a month or $400 a month. The thinking is that goes back into our economy. But what happened with retail sales this week, right? March retail sales, people pulled back. They're worried about spending more. They're worried about, you know, not having complete control over their finances. They see their hours being cut. They see their health care premiums going up at work. There are other expenses that they have to cover. And they're worried about it. They're scared. And you're scared. I know this isn't an easy time. I talk about it all the time on this show. When I talk about rebuilding America, it's your life, your pocketbook, your need for financial security. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm worried about it every single day. And I get, you know, people make fun of me. They're like, oh, at least you're trying to save us another $5. But you know what? 5 plus 5 plus 5 to the 10th power, and now you're talking about real money. Money in your pocket. Money in your kids' pocket. Money for the things that insurance doesn't cover, that you can't buy, that just are needed. Every week I get letters from people. All of them asking, the basic question seems to be, should I refinance? Right? Should I pay down my loan? Should I take a shorter term loan? It's the question we talk about every single week on this show. How do you make the smartest decision that's going to get you to ground zero? And by that I mean the baseline place where you have to operate from. It's a moment of truth. It's the place that you're most honest with yourself about your money, about your life, about where you are going forward. Getting to that ground zero seems to be what people are really having trouble with, because they're focused on sort of the upper atmosphere stuff. That's, oh, what if I could lower it by a point? What if I could lower my interest rate by a point? That's, in my mind, that's upper atmosphere. You have to understand what you're trying to do. And to say, well, duh, I'm trying to save $200 a month is a really good start. Don't get me wrong. But I want you to dig deeper. I want you to understand exactly what the plan is, not just to save the $200 a month. What are you going to do with that $200 that is going to leverage up the investment of time and money and all the rest to make your life that much more useful, to make things that much better? How are you going to leverage up? So it's only by understanding where you have to get to, what the honest assessment is. Maybe you're saying, I have no plan for the $200 to $300 a month, but I know if I don't refinance ASAP, I'm going to be out of a job next month, and then I won't be able to refinance. But now you're thinking ahead. You're thinking strategically. You're understanding exactly what you have to do to lock in the future gains. And you may not need to have all the answers today. God knows. Doesn't always happen that way. But by thinking strategically and planning ahead, that's really how you're going to move ahead. That's really how you're going to make all these pieces come together, and you're going to be able to rebuild your financial house. It's that simple. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Tax time tomorrow, 1-800-WSB-TOG. It is the 15th tomorrow. The show will be re-airing, I think, in the morning on the 15th, and if not, later in the week. But it's time for taxes. We're going to play the tax game coming up in a little bit. But I will say that, for this year, where so much of this can be done online, if you're not doing your taxes online, and the IRS has opened it up so that even, Sam and I, were normally, because of deductions and income level and all the extra pieces that we have, we're never able to file electronically with the IRS. This year, we were able to. If we can, you can. And let me tell you, when you file online, it eliminates all of those niggling, natty little questions and issues and mistakes that pop up, like, oh, my head wasn't there, and I transposed two numbers of my Social Security number, and blah, 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 and all the rest. It allows you to just get past that and make sure it actually gets there on time. So, highly recommend filing electronically and on time. When we come back, we're going to talk to do Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy, and then I'm going to give you some tax tips, some things to think about as you're fiddling around with your 1040 today. And, of course, we're taking your questions at 404-872-0750, online at Glink on Twitter, GLINK. I'm Elise Glink. You're listening to AM 750, now 95.5 FM, News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Elise Glink Show, live on Sundays, 11 to 1, here on News Talk WSB. It's time for Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Rhonda, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, owner's title insurance. We hear a lot about title insurance, but most buyers make the mistake of assuming that the lender's title is an owner's title policy, but it isn't. How do you help your buyers understand there's a big difference?
Well, this is part of our 8-step buyer action timeline. It's a checklist that takes you through the process so that you understand, yes, I've got that marked off, I can move ahead. Owner's title insurance is talked about by the closing attorney, but if you walk in and the closing attorney's had a bad day, or they think that their closing coordinator's already mentioned it and you said no, you won't get it. And so the difference is the owner's title policy protects the owner's equity, so your down payment. But it protects you against stuff that the lender could care less about, right? Once you do your down payment, the lender could care less if you're protected. So there's a vast difference. The lender's protecting their interest with a lender's title policy, and the owner's title policy is something that you buy separately that protects your interest, whatever equity you have built into the property.
Right. So it's, in my mind, there is no better money that you can spend than buying an owner's title policy. I recommend it for everybody who's buying a house.
Well, it's a subsequent insurance,
right.
and it's important, but unfortunately, like we started this segment with, it's something that is confusing to buyers because they think they already have purchased it. Well, it's
right
on the HUD. It must be there. That's what they're talking about. But they don't discriminate against it. So, in other words, they don't say, well, this is lender's title insurance. So, Right. So important.
It is important. It's also important if you're buying with cash. So many people buying with these cheap houses with cash, and they don't realize that everything's on the line. Because if you don't have a lender driving this, the lender demanding a lender's title policy, there isn't even an opportunity sometimes to have the conversation. So you, as the buyer of a cash property, you're the one who has to say to your escrow company, I want this.
Right.
Owner's title policy.
Right.
Yeah, have to have it. Good points, Rhonda. You've got more of this on your blog?
Of course, RhondaDuffy.com.
All right, everybody, you should go check it out. This is Real Estate Insight with Rhonda Duffy. Thanks so much.
See you next week.
You bet. News Talk, I'm Elise Klink. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Klink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
Born with the moon in Cancer.
36 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Lines are wide open, folks. If you've got questions about real estate and money, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I am happy to answer any of your questions here on the Elise Glink Show, where we're rebuilding America one house at a time. So taxes. So Sam, the man, does our taxes and does the taxes for the boys, and he hands me a stack of paper, and he said, caught by the AMT one last time. Every year, no matter how much we pay in taxes, we have AMT issues. And this year was no different. So annoying. And it's not that it isn't that I mind paying my fair share of taxes. I don't really mind it. But it's just, first of all, it's kind of annoying to have to do your taxes twice. So you test them both ways, which you're required to do. And then every time I think that we're paying a whole lot of money in taxes, we end up getting caught in the AMT, this time for $3,200. Very, very irritating. I don't know why it's so irritating, but I find it is every single year. But I know I'm not the only one. AMT is catching all kinds of people it wasn't designed to catch. And the people it was designed to catch are getting away with it. Why? Because AMT really works on earned income, like job income, W-2 income. And if you're, you know, like Mitt Romney and you've got other kinds of income, it seems to go right around the AMT. So we went and for the first year, Sam's for 20 odd years been doing our own taxes. And this year he went to our accountant, our business accountant, and he said, could you just take a quick look and see if there's anything I've missed here? Because we use TurboTax. And so the accountant took a look. And he said, well, yeah, no. Nope, you got everything. It just, you owe a lot of taxes. So what are you going to say? We owe a lot of taxes. But there are some things that you might be able to do that you're not fully taking advantage of that would at least, if not reduce the total amount out of pocket, would change it from a check that you're writing to the IRS to at least a check you're writing to, say, an investment company for an IRA. And so only about, it turns out that only about 15% of those who are eligible for an IRA are actually opening it up. And an IRA is different from a Roth IRA. IRA is tax-deductible, tax-deferred money, qualified retirement account. And the money that you put in there, it's true, you can't tap it until you're 59 and a half years old. And when you take the money out, you will have to pay taxes. But the idea is that you're paying at a much lower rate down the line than you are when you put in the funds, and because it's tax deductible, it means you pay less today. So, and of course, working on last year's numbers, 2013 tax rates have already gone up. So next year in 2014, when you're paying for 2013, it's going to be even higher. But you should consider an IRA and opening one up, and you can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day to open it up for the 2012 tax season. I suppose there are a few odd things that you can do, but really, if you're going to go do this, go do it tomorrow. Go to Fidelity or Vanguard or Charles Schwab. You ought to be able to open it up online. All good stuff. If you want to understand the rules of it, all you have to do is what I do, which is type in irs.gov IRA rules, and up will pop a page that talks about traditional IRAs. and that the contributions that you make may be fully or partially deductible depending on your income, and that it's not taxed until distributed, otherwise known as when you pull it out. And if you want to find out more about that, you can download Publication 590. 590 is individual, I think it's called Individual Retirement Arrangements, IRAs. That's where it comes from. And it explains the resources and how do you set it up, how do you contribute, how do you transfer money or property to and from an IRA, what happens when you inherit an IRA. There's very specific rules around that. Getting distributions or making withdrawals from an IRA, what is that about? So Publication 590 helps with all of those things. Now, for an IRA, a Roth IRA, that's a little different. This is after-tax money. You don't get to deduct your contributions to a Roth IRA from this year's adjusted gross income. If you meet the requirements, the qualified distributions, the money you take out of a Roth IRA, is tax-free. And you can continue to make contributions to your Roth IRA after you reach age 70 and a half, as long as you're still working, so that's part of the deal. This is earned income, not Social Security money, not pension money, not distributions from somebody's company that you own. This is real income. So if you're working into your 70s, you can still contribute to your Roth IRA. And what's nice is that you can continue to leave money in your Roth IRA, and there are some really specifically good benefits for inheriting a Roth IRA. And so there's a lot of reason to do a Roth IRA as well. So if you're one of the people who's found themselves with some extra cash and you think that this might be a good use for it, go for it. Now, what happens if you haven't gotten your tax return ready and you know that there's no way tomorrow you're going to be ready to file? Well, there's help for you too. There is a form, number 4868, available at irs.gov, and I'll tweet that out. You can also get it through tax preparation software, and this form gives you an automatic six-month extension. You still have to pay any taxes that are owed. If you owe $50, $5, $5,000, $500,000, you still have to pay it tomorrow. You still have to write a check. But at least you don't have to file the form tomorrow, and you get a six-month extension, right? And the IRS will confirm the receipt of this automatically. So you can file it online on the IRS website as late as 11:59 Eastern tomorrow. And I suggest you do that immediately. The other thing that's sort of interesting is that the IRS is now accepting credit cards and debit cards, checks and money order. You may have to pay a little bit extra for the credit card, but if you have to pay something and there's no other way to do it and no way to get your money there on time, not bad. And if you don't pay it by the Monday deadline, even if you get it in Tuesday morning at 6 a.m., the IRS will assess a monthly penalty of 0.5% on the balance owed plus interest of 3% per year compounded daily. That interest rate changes year to year, and so you know it's really low right now, so you're not paying as much. You just don't want to miss this. You don't want the 5% penalty. You don't want the monthly penalty balance. You don't want the interest charge. Just file form 4868 with the IRS and pay what you owe or what you think you're going to owe, and then you can get the form in over the next 6 months. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Joseph joins us on the line. Hey, Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm having a problem with my mortgage. I went through a short sale about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, closed on March of 2011. And I don't know, every time I ask for whether I can buy a home, they tell me that I cannot because of my, I don't know, the terms and conditions of short sale, but my credit has already improved now to about 750, and I don't know whether I qualify in any way to buy a home.
Well, you may qualify right now. Your short sale was 2 years ago?
Yes, ma'am.
And who's telling you that you can't qualify?
I called one of the banks.
Okay. And they, over the phone, they just said no?
Yeah, they told me no.
Well, you may qualify with an FHA loan, and there may be other banks that want to do the business that will work with you. Usually it's 3 years, 2 to 3 years for a short sale. But if your credit history is already back at 750, and do you have cash for a down payment? Joseph?
Excuse me?
Do you have cash, money for a down payment?
Yeah, I wanted to pay, actually I went to as high as 20%.
Okay. And they won't. They said, no, we won't work with you.
Yeah, at that time I didn't have the 20%. I had about 10%.
Okay. So what you ought to do is go to annualcreditreport.com.
Yes.
And you probably want to pull a copy of your credit history and credit score. You'll have to pay for the credit score.
Uh-huh.
And then go call, make appointments, and go see a bunch of mortgage brokers and big banks and lenders and make some phone calls and see if there's anybody who's willing to work with you 2 years out.
Yes.
Have you found the house you want to buy?
I had found one sometime late last year, but when they said no, then I let it go.
Well, last year would have been too short because that would have been less than 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're on the other side of that. Now you're over 2 years. And it
yes.
seems like silly that it would make a difference, but it kind of makes a difference. It kind of makes a big difference. And so now that they've got these rules and it's 2 to 3 years for a short sale, 3 to 5 years for a foreclosure.
Uh-huh.
So you're yeah. now in the situation where they may well be willing to work with you. And with yeah. a 20% for a down payment, seems very promising. So I would start the work and figure out who you can talk to and just work on getting the loan pre-qualified. Pre-approved,
yes.
actually. You want to make, you want to know that they are going to fund the loan if the house you choose appraises out in value.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Let me know what happens, okay?
Yes, I'll call back and let you know.
All right. Perfect, Joseph. Thanks. Have a great weekend. 47 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Trish joins us on the line in Locust Grove. Hi, Trish.
Hi, Elise. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How's your pre-tax Sunday going?
Well, I'm a little irritated this year.
Join the club?
Somewhat of a refund, and this year I'm going to have to pay. And one of the things I did, I had a quite substantial jump in income last year, but it was just a one-time thing.
Uh-huh.
And so I made an IRA contribution last year, first part of April,
mm-hmm.
and I told them that I wanted to use it for this year. But because I also have a 401k, the income jump put me beyond being able to use it for this year. Is it possible to go back and do an amended return for last year?
It's not the amended return that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
You could do an amended return. The problem is when you put the deposit in, you specifically told them where it was going to be applied. And there, I don't believe you could go back to the financial services company and say, oops, I made a mistake. It was really for this year.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you can do that.
Okay.
But you should certainly find out. If you have overpaid, you should... I think you're going to have to talk to a professional. Do you normally do your own taxes?
Yes. And so, I use TurboTax as well.
Did you run it through TurboTax?
I ran it through TurboTax, and they were just saying that I didn't qualify for the deduction.
Yeah. So I think what you want to do is you're going to have to talk to a tax person because I don't think this is a problem necessarily with refiling the taxes. I could see... You could refile and claim the deduction, but if they audited, they would see when you actually applied it. And I had that problem my very first year of working. Excuse me, I had to make a deposit, and I put it in, and I put it in for the wrong year, and then it showed me that I over contributed for the next year because I didn't do it right on the balances and on the taxes. I just didn't really understand what I was doing, and I just made a bad choice. But I think you probably want to talk to somebody who can give you a little bit more specific advice, look at everything, and see if there's a way to reapply the contribution that you made. And maybe it is as simple as redoing your taxes. I just get a sense that it probably isn't. But it's worth asking the question. If you need to find somebody, you could try a CPA or a tax preparer, or you may want to try one of our enrolled agents who comes on the show frequently, like Bill Nemeth, and he's with the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, number 4, GAEA.org. 404-872-0750 is our number. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. Oh, you know it sure is hard to leave. It's 57 minutes past the hour. Herman Cain is giving away thousands of dollars to replenish some of what the IRS is going to take away from you tomorrow. You can win a grand, $1,000 in cold cash. So register online at thehermancainshow.com. And WSB is going to start calling out winning names tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. on News Talk WSB. All the details at thehermancainshow.com today. In fact, I just went there. Kind of cool stuff. 404-872-0750, 57 minutes past the hour. Pat joins us on the line from Roswell. Hi, Pat.
Hi.
Hey, what can I do for you today?
So I got an unexpected bonus in 2012, and it kicked me over some of the minimums for tuition deductions for my kids in college. Yeah, and so now I find myself, I've done my taxes, gone through TurboTax, and I'm going to owe several thousand dollars this year.
Oh, gosh. All for your unexpected bonus.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, and so I'm just trying to think of the best ways to approach this because I don't have the cash now. And, I mean, I've already...
Is there any way to put the money away in an IRA tomorrow so that you don't have to, you can kind of unwind it, it comes down from the amounts? And if not, then you're going to have to contact the IRS, file your taxes tomorrow, and say, look, I know I owe you money, but I don't have it simply because this kicked me over a bunch of thresholds, and can we set up a payment plan? If you go to the IRS, it's a whole lot better than them coming to you. And if you don't want to do it yourself, then you should try to find an accountant or an enrolled agent who can contact the IRS on your behalf so that this process gets started up front as opposed to them chasing you on the backside. I will try to find a link at IRS.gov for you where you can get more information, and I'll do that during the commercial break. 58 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours, and I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
It's live, expert money and real estate advice every Sunday. Elise Glink is on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
It's 12:07 on News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for joining me today, where we're rebuilding America one house at a time. If you're not following me on Twitter, we're already having quite the conversation, although I think a lot of people are outside enjoying the day. I don't know. I'll be driving around Atlanta tomorrow. Hopefully it's not going to rain. I have to say, like everybody else who lives in Atlanta, I dislike driving around in rainstorms. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. 1-800-WSB-TALK. Happy to take your calls about real estate. We're doing a little bit on tax. I've tweeted out some tax information, but truly there is so much more that we could be digging into. I encourage you to go to thinklink.com, and you can type in taxes, and our tax show will pop up. And that's, or you can just type in Bill Nemeth, N-E-M-E-T-H. He's been our guest, our tax expert, one of our tax experts for the last few shows. And all kinds of really cool information available at thinklink.com about taxes and filing your taxes and things you're going to want to keep in mind for tomorrow, if you haven't already done it. 404-872-0750. Bill joins us on the line from Lilburn. Hi, Bill.
Hi, how are you today?
You know, I'm doing fine. I've already done my taxes, so at least that worries off the table. What about you?
I have, too. I had filed electronically in February, so that was great.
That sounds good. Did you get a refund?
I did.
Nice.
My question was, we had had our refund taken. They had taken money out of the refund, saying that there was a previous tax that had been owed from a previous year. We thought we had that taken care of previously, 2 or 3 years ago, and then had filed an amended return then. When this happened, we refiled the amended return with them and have not heard back, and it's been probably, you know, 5 or 6 weeks.
So let me see if I understand. You filed a return, and then you realized that you'd filed incorrectly?
Yes, they said we had filed incorrectly.
Okay, so then you filed an amended return.
Yes, ma'am.
And was that accepted?
Yes, it was.
And you have the paperwork to show it was accepted?
We do. We have the same paperwork, and that's what we had sent them back, you know, a month and a half ago.
Okay. So, first of all, it's very normal for the IRS to deduct any outstanding owed monies, right, from any refund that you're going to get. So that doesn't surprise
sure.
me at all, right?
Sure, that's fine.
That's fine. So your issue right now is you haven't heard anything, and it's been 5 or 6 weeks, and I'm here to tell you it could take another 5 to 6 weeks.
Okay, that's you just made me feel a little better.
Well, I'm glad about that. There's, you know, this time of year is a crush, an absolute crush for the IRS. And what's making it more complicated this time, and why refunds are going to be a little delayed anyway, and it's you got it in early, so maybe you didn't experience this, but there's a new matrix software, I don't know what, solution maybe is the way to call it, that the IRS has implemented in order to cut back on tax fraud. And the fraud has just zoomed and become so huge, and it's costing American taxpayers $5 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year, that the IRS has been looking for ever more draconian solutions as more and more people file online. And so what it's done is gunked up the works as they try to make sure that the people who are really getting refunds are actual taxpayers and not, this isn't a scam thing. So my sense is, if you haven't heard anything in another 5 weeks or so, you're going to want to follow up. And if you work with an enrolled agent or a CPA who can actually go inside the computers and see how what your file actually says, that may be another step that you want to take.
Okay.
So there are a bunch of different things that you can do.
Okay. Well, that's great. You really reassured me a little bit more about the system, so that helps. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hopefully it's all going to work out exactly the way you've planned. That I can't promise. But what I can promise is that sometime in the next 5 to 6 weeks, you'll probably hear something from the IRS. And if it's not what you're hoping for, you'll get back in touch with them. And remember, the IRS is not going to contact you by email. They never will. Georgia tax people might contact you by email, which is confusing, and they should stop doing it. But the federal government will not contact you from the IRS by email. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. David joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, Elizabeth?
Good. Have you got your taxes filed?
Oh, yes, and I'm surprised.
Surprised you got them filed?
Well, no, I'm surprised I got money back. I'm a full-time student, so I'm really surprised.
Well, good for you.
Well, I guess it's a unique situation. The house I was in recently got foreclosed on, but I'm renting it. I got a lease. It's a good lease and everything. I got a great property manager. But I was more interested in purchasing the property since it was a foreclosure. And it's a Fannie Mae property, which leads me to two questions. One, not so important, was, you know, how much lower are they willing to get rid of them, since I know they're not in the business of renting. And then the second one, since I'm a full-time student, I don't actually get a full-time income other than, like, volunteer fire department pay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my predicament. No real income. I've got money to put down on it. I got a good $60,000 for, you know, PMI and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't want to exhaust all my funds, but putting a down payment's a good, hey, he can make payments and stuff.
So
loans are going to be an issue.
I think it is going to be an issue. So you probably can't buy the house that you've moved into,
mm-hmm.
because even if you have no income, no real income.
Right.
I'm not sure how any lender today is going to approve that.
Well,
would you approve somebody who had no income but some cash to put down in a house? How would you be able to guarantee that they would make the payments?
Well, see, that's the other thing, too. I'm getting married in a couple of months, and my fiance and I are looking to put it down together, which I know it's not really advisable until you actually are married, but we've already, you know, we've already paid for everything. But we were going to put in together on it. I'm going to be employed here in the next month, and she's already employed with a decent job.
Oh, so you're... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what's known as burying the lead. So you're not really a student with no income. Pretty in a month, you're going to have an income, and you're getting married to a person who's also going to have an income, and you have cash to put down in a house. Now you guys look like winner homebuyers.
And we're in a really good spot to purchase the house. I mean, so, like I said, Fannie Mae's not going to want to rent it. They want to get rid of it.
Right.
So we're kind of hoping.
Well, what you need to do is you need to contact the lender that owns the property. I know Fannie Mae has the loan on the property, and maybe they've even taken it back. There are some situations where Fannie Mae is renting out property, but usually there's another lender involved. And so
correct.
What you want to do is track back who's servicing this property, and when it got sold, who actually owns it. And then what you would want to do, it may not even be on the market yet, you would want to go there and say, okay, this is what our picture is going to look like in another month, or in another 3 weeks or whatever, and we would like to start this process of buying this property. Now, do you know where you're supposed to be making your mortgage payments to?
Yeah.
I mean, your rental payments. Who are you making the payments to?
That would be, I believe it's called First Services.
Okay.
It's, I guess, contracted through Fannie Mae.
Okay. So you'd want to call them and say, who do we talk to about buying the property? Have you done that yet?
Yes, I spoke to the agent who came out and actually surveyed the property.
Uh-huh.
She's taking pictures and stuff. She's kind of giving me the information that they don't really like to keep it, like I said. So that's why we're actually interested. We're under our old lease, which is going to expire in a couple months. So
right, but is this agent the person who's going to be listing the property? Who is this agent?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to be actually her. I think she deals more of going out to all the properties and making sure they're not, you know, squattering properties.
Got it. So you need to work through her and find out who would be the decision maker about this property.
Okay.
Because she's clearly not. And how you would find the decision maker.
Okay.
So who's going to make the decision to put this property on the market, and how do you get your name in there first?
Right.
So that would be those would be the steps that you'd want to take. And in the meantime, you're going to get a job. You'll have a W-2. Your spouse-to-be is going to buy, you know, have a job. And the two of you are going to buy this property together. Now, when are you supposed to get married?
In August.
That's coming right up.
Yeah, I know.
My husband and I bought a property before we were married, our very first place together about a million years ago. And we got married. We bought the place in, like, I don't know, May or June, and we got married in August. So, same thing. It just worked out that way.
Well, we're excited. The other thing, too, is just how low are they trying to get rid of these properties? I've heard it's a pretty good percentage. Like, they don't want to keep them. So.
Well, they don't, but what you have to understand, David, is that there are not enough properties in the market, and so there are these little bubbles of interest that have been created all over the country. And Georgia is a little bit behind that because just the sheer number of properties. But there may be other people willing to pay all cash, willing to pay more than you're paying. And so starting early is good, but it just may not be enough. But the good news is that there are a lot of houses for sale. And if you can't buy this one, then you'll go buy another one. And even though you have to move again, which is annoying, at least it's just moving, right? So it's annoying and it can be a little bit expensive, but you'll find the right property. The key thing is that you and your fiancé have made this decision to get in this mindset. And once you're in the home buying mindset, all these other doors of interest start popping up for you. So that's really what you want to focus on.
Would it be safe to say to go ahead and here sometime pretty soon, next month, to go ahead and get like a pre-approval?
Absolutely. You have to wait, though, until you've actually got your job. Or if you're doing it with her, you know, and she has a job and the job is enough to pay for the mortgage, then you probably don't have to wait until you're also fully employed.
Right.
But once you both are fully employed and you understand what the gross income is going to be, what your take-home pay is going to be, you set aside money for, you know, all the other savings and retirement and all the other things you'll need to do to this property. Once you figure out all those numbers, then you're going to understand what you want to be spending. And if this property comes in at or below that, golden. But if it comes in higher, you'll just know that you need to find a different house. You can make a good faith effort to negotiate with these people, but I wouldn't stake the house on it.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome, and good luck to you and your fiancé. Let me know how it goes.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great Sunday. It's 1220 on News Talk WSB, our number 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm Elise Glink, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time. And I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
They won't give peace a chance.
It's 26 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We're tweeting online about the Energy Star tax credits. So that's another thing we're tweeting about. Those apparently do go through the end of December. And I do want to mention that I'm in Parade Magazine today. Probably came as a Sunday supplement to you. It's all about buying a home, and it talks about my book, Buy, Close, Move In, which is my most recent book. 100 Questions Every First-Time Homebuyer Should Ask is still the classic. But Buy, Close, Move In is really, really helpful for anybody who's looking to buy homes these days, including HUD homes. Bill Nemeth called in. Bill, aren't you too busy doing people's taxes to call to the show today?
Well, I was driving around, and I heard your last caller who said somebody took part of my refund and wanted to give him a little heads up on how he could find out who was doing that.
Okay.
There is a phone number for the Treasury Offset Program, 800-304-3107. And it's an automated line, 24 hours a day. If you call that, you can find out if someone else is looking for your tax refund. Typically, in your client's case, he filed an amended federal. He may not have done anything with Georgia. Georgia is nice enough to do it.
Well, that's actually really good. He said that he filed an amended return and that he couldn't understand why he hadn't heard back from the IRS over the last 5 weeks. And I just said to him, give it another 5 weeks, and you might actually hear back.
There is actually a new facility the IRS published starting in March. You can actually go online and find out the status of your amended return. That's brand new.
Ooh, that's good. I'm going to look that up, and I will tweet it out. Bill, thank you so much.
My pleasure. We're off to work.
I bet you are. Have a great tax season, Bill. Thanks so much for calling in. Bill is our enrolled agent expert, licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS, on his way to doing tax returns today. 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a moment with more on News Talk WSB.
Every Sunday, Elise Glink is live and here to guide you through your money and real estate questions. Only on 95.5 FM at AM 750. News Talk WSB. SB.
Thirty-six minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. We are rebuilding America, one house at a time, starting with yours. If you have questions that you don't feel comfortable talking about on air, which happens, you can always send me an email, questions@thinkglink.com. Thinkglink.com is my website. We have a newsletter. You should sign up for it. It's free. It gives you all kinds of great information each week and links to everywhere in the community that we're doing things, like at the Equifax Finance blog or Yahoo or CBS News on Thinklink.com. All kinds of really cool stuff, including like these webinars that are finally finished that we're going to be pushing out, and our YouTube channel, Expert Real Estate Tips, where we have, almost 370 videos with over 3.5 million views, all about buying and selling real estate, fixing up property, all the rest. There's all kinds of cool stuff. There is even a very popular video with like 60,000 views on how to properly grill a steak. I don't know about you, but today it's beautiful. I'm in Chicago, and I'm so excited that I get to be grilling later on tonight. I'm going to grill dinner for the first time. Yesterday, it was 32 degrees, and today, it's going to be 72, and I'm going to take full advantage of it before I go back to Atlanta tomorrow morning. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Jean joins me on the line now. Hey, Jean, welcome to the program.
Hi. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Happy to have you on the show. What's going on in your world, Jean?
Well, I had a question for you. I'm just wondering if it's wise to pay off a mortgage with IRA funds if you don't have to pay a penalty.
Well, why are you asking? What's going on behind the scenes here that I don't know about?
I would love to be debt-free, and the only thing I have left is my mortgage. I've got about another 26 years to go on it.
Mm-hmm. How much do you owe?
I owe about $78,000 on it.
Okay, and what's the interest rate?
4.75.
Okay, and are you underwater, one of the 40% of homes in Atlanta that are underwater?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay, so you've got equity in the property.
Uh-huh.
And you've got 20-something years left to pay?
Yes.
Are you still working?
Yes.
Okay, and what is it about being debt-free that you think is more valuable than having retirement funds? Because that's a lot of money. Is that most of your retirement or just a little piece of it? How does it fit into the picture?
It's probably about a third.
Okay, and what are you going to live off of when you do retire?
Well, I'm hoping that the money that I make for, you know, that I don't have to pay that mortgage off every month, I'll be able to put away.
Okay.
I'm thinking I could work at least another 10 years.
Okay, and what's your monthly payment?
It's about $635.
Okay, so let's just say it's $600 because the round number, or $700, it doesn't really matter. And does that include your property taxes and insurance as well?
Yes.
Because, you know, those costs don't go away. So really you're only talking about maybe $400 a month?
Right.
Or $4,800 a year?
Okay.
If you save $4,800 a year for 10 years, that's only $48,000.
Okay.
So that's not nearly what it's going to be. Plus, you've lost the investment return on the $78,000 today.
Okay.
So I don't know that that's a really good deal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a good deal for you. So
okay.
You think you're being debt-free, but what you're doing is really robbing your future to pay
mm-hmm.
off debt today. What I would rather see you do is if you have a job and if you have equity in the property, I'd rather see you refinance to, let's say, a 10-year loan at 2.75%. So my guess is that even though you're going to pay off this loan in 10 or 15 years, you're going to drop it enough that you're going to make the same payment. So instead of paying $400 towards the mortgage, it'll be $400, but it'll be a shorter loan. And then you're going to have some real savings because you're going to get paid off by the time you retire in 10 years. That should be your goal. By the time you retire, you're done with the mortgage.
Okay.
And I think that that gets at the heart of what you're really trying to do, right? What you're trying to do is not have this in retirement hanging over your head. You're still going to have the insurance and the taxes. I cannot help you with that.
Right.
And those costs are going to go up over time. But I would rather be responsible for $300 a month than $700 a month. And if you can lower it or pay that amount, but know that in 10 years you're done and your $78,000 is growing and you have like the historic low interest rate, you're done.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. That helps a lot.
All right. I'm so glad, Jean. Let me know how it goes, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Have a great day. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Jill joins us on the line from Jasper. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Elise.
So what's new in your world?
Well, up here in Jasper, there is a house that somebody built back in 07.
Mm-hmm.
It has never been lived in. It was closed on. It now belongs to HUD, and I would like to buy it. I talked to a real estate agent. We have traced it back to HUD. HUD said, well, it hasn't been assigned to an asset manager, so I don't know. So is there any way I can find somebody so that I can buy that house? And so they have to transfer it to an asset manager.
So it is not listed after, I'm sorry, it's 6 years that it's been vacant?
Yes, and apparently somebody's using it because the carpet's dirty.
Nice.
But I can't get anybody to talk to me about, you know, moving it through the system.
All right, so it's not listed on HUDHomestore.gov, right?
Right, right.
And you've checked?
Yes.
Okay.
I talked to somebody at HUD. I called and called, and my agent called and called, and we tracked it down, and we were told, well, you know, it hasn't been assigned to an asset manager, so there's nothing we can do. So is there any way I can find somebody who can move it through the system?
Well, maybe. And if you can't do it, maybe I can do it. So,
okay.
Assuming that you've already gone to the local HUD office, have you gone to the HUD office in Atlanta and you actually have had a conversation with somebody there about it and showed them a picture of the property?
I just talked to them on the phone.
Okay. And they say, we can't help you.
Right.
Have you gone, I'm going to do the old Clark Howard, have you gone up the food chain with that?
I didn't know how to go up the food chain.
Okay. There's a person who runs that office that you may want to get in touch with, or at least start there. What I would probably do, or here's what you can do. Why don't you send me at questions@thinklink.com.
Okay.
Send me the address of the property, and if you have a photo of it, and a little history of who you've talked to. And what I will do is reach out to HUD in Washington, or I'll have one of my researchers reach out to HUD in Washington, and I'll say, hey, HUD, what are you guys doing? You've got properties that people want to buy. Don't you want to get this off the slate? And it's been 6 years. What gets me is not that it hasn't been assigned to an asset manager, but that it has been 6 years that it hasn't been assigned to an asset manager. And I'm kind of surprised that the city, is it in Jasper proper?
Yes.
So somebody should have been paying the property taxes on this property. Somebody should have been involved with it. And it strikes me as just odd. Maybe it just, the file slipped to the floor and nobody knows where the file is or who knows what. But if you send all this information to me at questions@thinklink.com, I can forward that information and have somebody at HUD take a look and say, right, it's been 6 years. We might want to just get rid of this property.
Okay, thank you so much.
But the only way that you can buy a HUD home, my understanding is you're going to have to go to HUDHomestore.com. They all get listed there, and then you bid on it through there. Is the agent you've been working with HUD certified?
Yes.
Okay, good. So then she would know how to go online and bid for the property. Because you can't do it yourself.
Right.
Okay, perfect. There's a HUD Home Store app, mobile app for iPhone and Android. If you go to HUDHomestore.com, you can download it and then use that to search for the houses and register and all the rest. And just get familiar with that website. It's a great website, and it helps people like you sop up all the homes that are available. And Georgia does have one of the largest numbers of HUD homes for sale, which are FHA foreclosures, anywhere. And this is an opportunity for everybody who's listening who wants to buy a HUD home. You really have to go to HUDHomestore.com, start there, learn about it, find an agent, and they have a find a broker thing. And this is the website that's certified by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. So anyway, Jill, good luck. I hope that works out for you. Let me know. 46 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Happy to take your questions offline at questions@thinklink.com as well. Steve joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Leish. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm good, thank you. What about you?
Pretty good. Question. I have two properties. I have one property that I just refinanced under HARP at a 4.125 balance at $85,000.
Mm-hmm.
I have a second property, rental property, at $130,000, and it's at 7.5%. I couldn't qualify with a HARP because they said that I had a credit enhancement on the original loan, which I had my PMI lumped into my interest rate, so that penalized me from getting another government program. So they said the best I can do is just go under and refinance under normal guidelines, which would be bring it down to 75% loan to value, which means about $15,000, you know, to put down and lower the LTV.
Yep.
And but that brings me from like 150 in the hole to 400 positive for my rental house. My question, big question, is I unfortunately lost my mom late last year, right before Christmas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I have $200,000 that I have right now, and another $200,000 coming in the next probably few months. I don't know that I'm going to keep the rental house forever, although I do want to get some kind of relief on the monthly, you know, what I'm taking, you know, losing. And I'm just wondering if I should just go ahead and pay off my condo, but I'm afraid of losing the tax deduction on that. And, you know, just wondering, can I still get a similar tax deduction if I just pay off my first primary and just kept my rental house? Does that make sense?
All right, this is a more complicated a question than it has to be. So the first thing is, I'm sorry about your mom.
Thank you so much.
And I know that when people get inheritances, your biggest concern is how are you going to make good on that inheritance, right? You're really asking, what are the best choices I can make with the money my mother's left me? Because out of tragedy, you want something good to come from it.
Sure.
And I know that what's really going on here is you're trying to balance, like when you have this much cash, it doesn't really matter that you're going to put $15,000 in to qualify for a new mortgage, right? It doesn't matter. You've got a lot of cash now. So
yes.
You're trying to make the right decision for the right reasons. And when I listen to you talk, it all comes out in a big mush. And I think the reason is that you're so wrapped up emotionally with the inheritance and your mom and the money, and you're putting a self-imposed pressure deadline to get all this done right away. And really, you've got time. I want you to breathe a little bit, Steve. I feel like you're so busy trying to figure out this one and this one and this one, and it doesn't have to be such a rush. So here's what I'm going to recommend. I'm going to recommend that if you feel like you're going to keep this rental property for a while, go ahead and pay it off. You've got $130,000 in the hole. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay. So you owe $130,000. Pay it off.
I'm not under. I'm slightly, market value, I'm okay.
Right. I understand. That's fine, which is great, actually. So many people would rather be in that situation. But if you pay it off, what you're doing is now giving yourself an annuity of income. So you're putting $130,000 in. If you put $130,000 into a bank, you wouldn't be getting anything in the interest. But here, you're going to get the rental income, and that's going to be a better return on your investment than anything else. You don't have to put any money down towards refinancing. You don't have to keep making payments. You're just going to get that income, and that's going to be an annuity on the money. And that's going to buy you time to figure out what else you want to do with this money and to just breathe. Because right now, the most important thing is to breathe. And the 7.5% interest, when you prepay that, it's like you've earned 7.5% of the money, and now you're going to get income in. It's all good. In another month, once you've done all that and taken care of it, give me a call back and let me know how you're doing, and we'll work on the next piece. 52 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. We're going to take a short break, then be right back with more on News Talk WSB. So it's tax time tomorrow, and this is the Elise Kling Show. If you've got questions about taxes, you're going to want to take a look at our tax or listen to our tax podcasts. We have done a bunch of podcasts at thinklink.com. Just click on the audio button. It's on the right-hand navigation bar. So if you go to thinklink.com, it says ThinkLink Podcast, Listen Now. That button will take you to our audio page, and you can go back and search by date all of the different shows that we have. We just put up, I think the most recent show we have up right now is March 24th, but we've had, you know, if you go back, we had our tax show for March 3rd, and actually there's a picture of Bill Nemeth, who called into the show earlier today, and we've got some great information for you and some links and all the rest. IRS.gov, if you just go to the IRS.gov website, there is terrific information and all kinds of links. They're really trying to be so much more helpful. So you can get your refund status. It shows you how to file your tax return. If you want it in Spanish, it'll give you that. They've got the most popular forms and publications right at the top now. The 941, which is for small businesses, the W-2, 1040, all the different ones. So take a look. I know everybody hates filing their taxes, but tomorrow's the big day. Make sure if you're not going to get your taxes filed on time, get the extension 4868, and that's right in the center where it says April deadline 2013. There's a link to that form, and you can get it right online. My thanks to Alan Hunt and Andrew Longoria, who are producing the show today. Crystal is off. I'll be back next Sunday. Hope you'll join me. And in the meantime, if you see me hanging around Atlanta tomorrow and Tuesday, be sure to wave. And in the meantime, go to my website, thinklink.com. Have a great week, everybody.